Hallelujah. All the glory to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All the glory to the Lord Jesus. Praise God. So I wanted to speak on what is an overcomer this morning. Because how many know that we have to be overcomers to make it to heaven? Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And I'm gonna actually use out of the Bible today, the book of Revelation. I know everybody in here loves that book.
Yes.
And but you know something? If you don't, you're going to miss out. Because listen to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed is he that readeth.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm taking that blessing.
Yes. I love it.
And they that hear the words.
Yes.
So if I hear you or see you with your fingers in your ears, your problem. You're going to miss out on a blessing. Because it says, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We're here, people. We're watching the end times unravel so fast before our eyes, it's unbelievable. And if you don't think that, then you do have your eyes and your ears covered. Because it is happening, and we are to be aware of that. And there's many, many people today that are falling away in this hour that we're living. And we need to be aware of it. So, and by the way, you know, this is the first book of the Bible where a blessing is promised, by the way, also. Revelation. So when you read that book and you hear it being read too, you receive a special blessing.
Right.
And I tell you, once you go through it and study it, you can see the blessing right there.
Amen.
Because we win.
We win.
Huh? Isn't that a blessing right there alone? We win. No matter what's going on in your life, you and I win when we belong to Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, 22, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Just so you know, Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, this is the last reference to the churches in Revelation until chapter 22, 16.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Where is the church?
Gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. I tell you, that's exciting. But you can read it, Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Jesus wants us to know. And I tell you what, the church is not mentioned until that chapter again, because we're with Jesus. And that's, boy, I tell you, that's got to give you victory right there, no matter what's going on in your life. And we need to be aware of that. Praise God. Forgive me, but Renee, I want to stop just for a second and share a heartfelt with you today, a loss of Les, our brother in Christ. And even though he's rejoicing and happy right now, you feel the absence, and we, our hearts are with you. And our prayers, too. So, but we're excited for Brother Les. That guy is a fighter. And he fought all the way, and he made it victory. And I know he's excited to see his Lord and Savior right now. But you know something? I thought about him this morning. He's free.
He is.
He's no longer bound. Amen?
Amen.
Praise. I tell you, we can't lose, can we, with Jesus?
Amen.
We just can't lose. Praise God. So, in Christ, we've been given all the tools we need to remain steadfast. Everything that we need to have victory in this earth, God has given it to us. It's there. Many Christians don't take it, but it's there. It's ours. And I want to say this too. If you are putting your hope in anything else other than Jesus Christ, it's in the wrong place. Today, there's so much hopelessness in the world. Because they're putting their hope in the government. They're putting their hope in vaccines. They're putting their hope in masks. They're putting their hope in social distancing. They're putting their hope in money. They're putting their hope in everything. But our hope needs to be in Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's the only thing that we can put our hope in. That's the only thing. Anything other than that, you will be hopeless. And that's why people are depressed today. That's why they're oppressed today, and that's why many are taking their lives today, because there's a spirit of hopelessness in the world, because they are not putting their hope in the one who is able.
Amen.
And I put all of my hope in Jesus. No matter what's going on, it's Jesus. He will give me the victory no matter how, when it's going to happen. It's all in here. It's all in here. He supplies everything. He's our hope. Amen?
Amen.
Get loud on me. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, let's just be Pentecostal, because the devil hates it when you and I get excited about Jesus.
That's right.
He does. He'd rather have us come here and just and say, "Oh dear Lord, help us make it." No, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I have read this several years ago. I can't remember how many. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, but it bears repeating and is germane. And I want you to listen closely and allow the Holy Spirit to stir you within as I read it to you. Amen? You going to bear with me and let me read this to you? Are you getting all excited about what I'm going to read?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And if you want to get up and jump and stand in the chairs too before I get done, you feel free to do that. If you want to run around the church, you feel free to do that. Amen?
Yeah.
Here we go. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by the Holy Spirit power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow. My way may be rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until I know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We should paste that on every refrigerator door and bathroom mirror.
All right.
The word nikeo, which means to overcome, conquer, prevail, or gain the victory, is used 14 times in Revelation. In Revelation. How many bought their Bibles, by the way, today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see that. Glory to God. We need to use these as our way of life, and we need to use them as a witness when we're walking in outside these doors. And then, of course, read them. Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
10 of those are related to the church, by the way. The others had different uses. For example, Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. The beast has a temporary victory. It says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." And then in Revelation chapter 17, 14, Jesus himself conquers the beast and the armies of Armageddon. It says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them." Hallelujah.
Amen.
For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one that is soon to return for the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, overcome, it's a positive, very positive word, isn't it? It's a wonderful word. I love to be an overcomer. How many want to be an overcomer here? Huh? You want to be an overcomer? Then we need to act like it, live like it, and preach it. We need to preach it. We need to speak it. We can complain, we can gripe, we can murmur about a lot of things, but is what we need to do is speak the word of God. And that's why it's important to read it, because the Holy Spirit will put in your spirit at the right time the words that you need to say, and you become an overcomer. And a lot of Christians aren't overcomers because they don't preach the word. They don't speak it. It's getting too quiet on me here again. I've only been gone 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, there must be a real threat of danger and defeat for there to be victory, which is inherent in the word overcome. It's one of those bittersweet words. It is a powerful word in this book and in our lives. Not just for the first and second century church, but for the people of God in every generation, and that includes our generation today, is speaking to us too, that we are overcomers. The idea of overcoming is an undercurrent throughout the Bible. It's always present in every battle and every scene. One could easily make a case for interpreting the entire Bible with the word overcomer, maybe by asking the questions. When the dust settles, who will prove to be the conqueror, the overcomer? And who will be identified with the overcomer? I'm identified with the overcomer.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Amen.
I'm identified with him. And you can take the whole Bible from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation, and you can see that our Jesus is the overcomer.
Amen.
And everybody that put their hope and their trust in Jesus in Scripture are overcomers.
Amen.
Every one of them. Those who chose not to, those that chose to be disobedient to the word of God, were not overcomers.
That's right.
Their lives were destroyed in many different ways. And we need to learn to be overcomers by obeying the word of God.
Right.
Not so he can rule it over us to be a dictator, but so he can help us through this world.
That's right.
And we'll obey him. He knows the right path. He knows the right way in every one of our situations of life. Every one of you struggling mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, Jesus knows the exact thing you need to be an overcomer to come to the end of that situation. He knows it. He knows it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So being classified as an overcomer is certainly an ambitious and noble thing. But knowing what it means and how it is used and the costs involved is important if we are to correctly apply it. And as I said, make no mistake about it, the Spirit did not only expect the church of the first and second century to identify with the word. He means for those of every generation who become born-again followers, who become born-again followers. Amen?
Amen.
That we are to be overcomers. Let's read the 10 places in the book where it applies to their church. So I'm going to read Revelation here now. So if you get your Bibles, you can go to Revelation 2:7. Or I suppose we got it up on the board too. Amen. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You know, he that hath an ear, I think that's interesting. There's many people who sit in churches and they got ears, but they don't use them. You got to be point blank, right? It's got to be truthful. You sit in church and you're thinking about other things, doing other things, and we need to be hearing the word of God. No matter how the preacher is, whether he's charismatic or you think he's boring or whatever, if he's preaching the word, you need to hear it.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And I fit into all those categories.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And people, if you're in here and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you're not going to understand this. We are entering the times where we need to read this because we need to be overcomers in this hour. And this is the promise of God right here. He said, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And in Revelation 2:11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save in he that receives it. And that's speaking to the true born-again Christian again. You're not only going to have a new body, you're going to have a new name to go with it. Hallelujah. And only you're going to know the meaning of your name. Boy, a lot of good stuff in this revelation that Jesus is telling us just before he sounds the trumpet. Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's speaking of the new kingdom age to come. But he that keepeth my works. He that keepeth my works. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Interesting, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. That means it can be blotted out.
That's right. What it says.
So once saved, always saved, throw it out the window.
Amen.
It's true.
Or the new grace movement, you can sin and still go to heaven. Get rid of it quickly. It's not scriptural. You won't find it in the Word of God. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That's the righteousness of Christ. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before Father and before his angels. Hallelujah. I think it's going to be that new name. I don't know. That's Lynn theory again. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh, while I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You can have your worldly tattoos all you want. I'm saving my blank space for this.
Amen.
Revelation 3:21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in this throne. Glory to God. What an experience that the body of Christ is going to have when that trumpet sounds. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And speaking of the martyrs murdered during the tribulation, Revelation 15:2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and that's before the throne of God. That's before, when you're looking toward the throne, you'll see that glass and that mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory.
Amen.
Them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark. And over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. I like that part that they got over the mark. Look how we're being pushed with this stuff today on the mark. They're telling us now you can't buy or sell unless you have vaccines stuck in you. Yeah, if you had it done, nothing personal. But when they start using it, and forcing it on people, it's not good.
Amen.
It's not good. And telling us that we can't buy or sell, we can't go to work, we can't have jobs, that's revelation, people.
Yeah.
We're at the beginning stage. It's rapidly happening. And so many people are accepting that fact, and they don't realize that's not God. It's demonic.
Yeah.
And I love it. Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Did you hear that? He said that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Everything Jesus has will be ours.
Praise the Lord.
We will inherit all things with him. We will sit on his throne with him. We will rule and judge the nations of the world. Man, why fool around with this world, huh? Each overcoming scripture is based on the fact that our faith is exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Nothing more. If your faith is based in anything else, if it's based in the fact that you think you're a good person, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, if you are basing your faith in that, you will miss heaven.
That's right.
There's nothing in Scripture that teaches any of that. That if we have a certain religion, that if we belong to a certain denomination, that we take communion, that we get baptized, that we pay our tithes, that Jesus is going to swish us right into heaven. It's got to be based in what he did on the cross, dying and shedding his blood for our sins. The only way to heaven.
Amen.
Right. The only way.
Right.
And people are getting confused today, and we're being taught to do community in these big churches today. Oh, we feel so good because I went out and I fed somebody a meal.
That's right.
You can feed people meals all time and have the best interests at heart, and you'll go to hell for it. I got to be truthful with you. Good works are good. We should be doing them. We should represent Christ by doing good works, but in his name.
Yes.
We had somebody one time tell us when we first started this church that we could go out and we could go feed the poor down in downtown Minneapolis, but we would not be able to witness to them. I said, goodbye. When you give a glass of water, you give it in Jesus' name. Because it isn't nothing good we do. It's Jesus. And we need to remember that. You still with me now? You're saying, Pastor, you're getting just too deep for me, man. I'm getting a little upset with you.
I get sweating. Sorry.
No, that's good.
So what does it really mean? Does overcoming mean for the Christian the same thing it means the world's songs and their literature that they play today? Does it mean to survive or outperform one's opponent? Is that really what it's talking about? Certainly not. It's not. It must mean something more. It must be something other than merely surviving the catalytic event one is facing in your life today. Revelation's drama gives us a clear understanding of how God classifies one who is an overcomer. May I suggest to you four elements that go into God's definition of overcome. The first one, the overcomer is redeemed by Jesus by what he did on the cross.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. That makes us an overcomer. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
There's a dangerous fallacy that suggests that all roads lead to heaven, or even that in the end, everyone will make it. That's what we're going around right now again, by the way. And it's a lie out of the pits of hell. There's not many ways, many roads to heaven. No matter what you've been taught or whatever, it's not. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Only Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
The only way.
That's right.
And I'll say it again. Denominations, good works, all of that will not get you and I to heaven. Only Jesus will. Putting my trust and my hope and my faith in him and what he did on the cross gets me to heaven. It's his righteousness. I have none to get me to heaven. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. That means separation from this holy, righteous God. That's why we put it in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter ye in. Listen now. This is important because it means your eternal soul. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And we're watching multitudes going down into the wide gate today.
Right.
Multitudes are going that way. This is the right way because everybody else is going that way.
Right.
We better listen to the word. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads on to life, and few there be that find it.
Amen.
That's the sad part.
Yeah.
Multitudes are going to end up into an eternal hell by choice. Through deception, good works, everything else but what Jesus spoke about. And they're going to end up in an eternal hell because they chose to believe a lie. And Jesus said that gate's narrow and it's straight and few there that find it. That means it's going to be few in heaven more than, there's going to be a lot less people in heaven than we think. Even though there will be a multitude, it's going to be a lot less than it should have been, according to the Word of God here. Because people are looking at the broad road. The broad road's easy. Did you know that? The broad road's easy. That's why people jump into the crowds. It's easy. It's hard to stand by yourself. It's hard to go by yourself and stand for what you believe. And there's few that want to do that. They'd rather go with the crowd. And Jesus warns us right here. See, God's word is very clear that some are citizens of the earth and some are citizens of his kingdom. I want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. The scriptures are rather clear that to be a citizen of Jesus' kingdom requires a transfer. Did you know that? It requires a transfer. A rebirth, being born again. Yes. You notice how they want to avoid that word today.
Right.
In fact, I was told not to use that word. But today,
we're
a follower of Christ. Now, I know you people come here, you say, Pastor, you've said that before. I'm going to keep saying it, man. I'm going to be repetitious because repetitious, we're leaky vessels and we forget.
That's right.
And being a follower of Christ is a good thing if you're born again.
Yes.
But if you're a follower of Christ and you're not born again, it's a dangerous place because it'll lead you away from Jesus. Or you'll be following the wrong Jesus. And multitudes are following the wrong Jesus today rather than the one of the Bible which said, ye must be born again.
What is that?
Jesus said it. And he said it to a religious leader, by the way, who should have known better. That had to ask Jesus, what must I do to enter heaven? And Jesus had to say, you must be born again. So there needs to be a transfer. Nothing else. It's all, that transfer happens when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and what he did on the cross. We become born again when we receive him into our life. We repent of our sins. We become born again. Because I'm going to say this real quick, just so if you're in here and you don't understand. Way back at the beginning in Genesis, Jesus said, the moment they eat of that tree, they're going to die. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. The Spirit of God no longer dwelt with man at that point. In order to reconcile God's Spirit back to man, Jesus had to come to earth, die on a cross, and he sent his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit comes and gives us that new life back. It's only that's the only way. Isn't it awesome?
Yes.
I tell you, I get excited. I love preaching. I love witnessing about Jesus to people. Because that's the good news I give them.
Amen.
And you know, I just love it when they get mad at me and call me names and I'm a charlatan and I'm an idiot. And, you know, it excites me because I don't get upset and I'm able to take them right to them. I had a lady the last week here that started out and she was really kind of vicious in her conversation with me. But the time I got to then, it was, so why do you believe that? She started to doubt. And I said, that's the Holy Spirit working on you. She said, you're not going to make me get one of those beasts saved. I said, no, I'm not. But I said, God is, and I can already tell God's working on you. And I haven't heard a word from her since. Because you can take it, if you don't get upset and you can lead them to Jesus, you can show them with a little bit of help that they need the Lord. And God loves them, and we want to win people to Jesus. And we have the answer. It's right here. Praise God. The revelation clearly differentiates between the inhabitants of the earth. Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. And they crowd with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Those are the ones in heaven, and you have the people on the earth. The ones who rejected the gospel. And those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Glory to God. And he'll never ever leave us nor forsake us. So it's described in the scriptures by many names. But the root of transfer is that we have been reclaimed and we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it's evidenced in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's him. It's Jesus. He keeps repeatedly telling us, anything else but putting your faith in what Jesus did on that cross, you will miss heaven. And you can give me every excuse in the book. You can say, well, that's your view. That's your interpretation. Well, I tell you what, it doesn't take an idiot to interpret something that's pretty obvious. And they say, well, I don't believe it anyway. Then I said, then we don't have anything to discuss. Amen?
Amen.
It's the word of God or it isn't. And if you don't believe it, then that's your problem. Goodbye. Praise the Lord. It's not enough to hope you're saved. And I hear that all the time. And the reason I'm preaching on this is because I believe Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
And there's many that are not going to be overcomers in the church today. And it's sad. Many are giving up on their serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, being steadfast in their walk with him. And he's coming back very soon. And we need to be overcomers. And being good never suffices because we've all sinned. All of us. The Bible says in 1 John verse, chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, that we can know. Did you know that? We can know that we're saved.
You can.
We can, yeah. We can know that. Listen, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I think it's interesting, that scripture, because I've talked to even Christians who will say, I wish I would know for sure that I'm really saved. And after talking with them for a while, you can understand why they would ask that. Because they're still living like the world and acting like the world. And their confidence isn't in God, it's in how good they are. And they're not obeying the commandments of the Lord. They're not doing what he said. Because he said right here, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's why people will say it many times, because they're not living where they belong. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whew. Now, none of us are sinless and perfect, but I tell you what, when I'm striving to do the work and I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart and I'm doing what I can to obey and to live and to glorify him in my life, I know that I'm saved. I know that I am. Will I ever be perfect here on this earth? No. But I tell you, with God's help, I want to be as close as I can get. I don't want to be on the edge of the cliff. I want to be over here doing exactly what Jesus said to do, to be an overcomer all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There it is right there. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, if you're sitting, you say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, so does the demons in hell.
Right.
So don't use that. Don't pull one little thing out of Scripture to build a doctrine. Don't do it. God confirms his word with his word. The Bible teaches that salvation brings a radical conversion. And no guesswork's needed. I tell you what, when I got saved, I was radically saved. I was radically saved. That doesn't mean I'm better, perfect, or know it all. It just means I was radically saved. I got a whole new thought of how I want to live my life because Jesus saved me from my sin. And now I don't want to do what I did. And I want to do what I've never done before. And I want to praise God because he's an awesome God. Young people need to see that in the adults today. Because Jesus is the most exciting God that we could serve because he's living. And he's full of joy. He's full of hope. And he's got all the answers to life's problems.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the answer to every situation that you and I face in this troubled world. Praise God. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If you parents aren't excited about Jesus, your kids won't be either. Because you're the teachers. You're the examples they're looking at. And I tell you what, I'm excited about Jesus, aren't I, Amy? She was just a little pea pod when I got saved. So I would implore you, before we go any further, to make certain that you are a child of God. Think about that while you're sitting here, that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. Am I truly ready to meet Jesus right now? You got to ask yourself that. That you know that you have passed from death to life. Because I tell you what, once we're dead, it's too late. No second chance, no second thoughts, no purgatory. It's not in Scripture. If you're a Catholic in here this morning, no such thing. Jesus says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
And we either go to heaven or we go to hell when we die. There's no purgatory, no chance of coming back. I'm being honest with you.
Thank you.
I'm being honest with you. Because if you can find it, I said that to my own brother-in-law. I told him, you find it in the Scripture and I'll believe it. He couldn't find it. So he didn't believe it either. Don't believe what man says, believe what God says.
Right.
You need to be certain that you're saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Time is really short. Jesus is screaming to the world in his word yet. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait another minute, not another moment.
Amen.
Seriously, people. I am so serious about this, because the events of the world are wrapping up so quickly right now. We need to know for sure that we are born again and ready to go to heaven, because it's going to happen. And you know something? All the skeptics in there say, oh, you Bible thumpers, you all preach that fear stuff. Well, I tell you, if I can scare hell out of you,
yes,
I'm going to do it.
Yes.
But I tell you what. Everything that Jesus prophesied 2,000 years ago, you and I are sitting here watching it unfold before our very eyes. The very thing he prophesied is happening. We better be ready. We better be ready, because this is the buildup to the Antichrist coming. So that means the rapture could happen at any time. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. We need to know him. And if Revelation teaches us anything, it teaches us that dismissing or ignoring God's call is dangerous, and it's leading to judgment. Acknowledging your need for salvation and casting yourself upon God's mercy by the work of Christ is a saving moment that qualifies you to become an overcomer when you accept this free gift of salvation. See, everybody said, well, it's free. I'm automatically saved. Jesus came to earth. He died for all sinners. I'm saved. We're all saved. That's why we're all going to heaven.
That's not what it says. That's...
When Jesus came to earth, when he started his ministry at the age of 30 years old, for 3 years he was in ministry, the first thing he preached, his very first sermon, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, repent, repent, turn away from your sinful ways, your life, because we're all born into sin. Jesus said, repent of it.
Yes.
An overcomer. You still with me? I'm almost done.
Yes. Amen.
And I don't know what almost means, but I'm almost done.
Amen.
And then we're redeemed by Jesus, and then resolute toward Jesus, meaning determined, set in purpose and opinion toward our thoughts of our Lord. The revelation was written to help the church take a longer look, to help us realize that what is immediately before us is not the whole story or the end of the story. That's why Revelation is so exciting. We get a longer look at what's happening at the very end of the church age, where we're at. By taking the long look, we're empowered to remain bold, pure, faithful, because we know that the glory that the end holds for the Christian, we know what it holds. In the winter of 1877, General Washington and his Continental Army experienced its biggest test. It wasn't a war that brought the test, it was Valley Forge. It did, however, prove to be the turning point for the Revolution. The Continental Army was desperately against the ropes, bloody, beaten, battle-weary, and ready to quit. General Washington even conceded, if the Army does not get help soon, in all likelihood it will disband. We know what happened here. Early in the six-month encampment, there was hunger, disease, and despair. Raw weather stung and numbed the soldiers. Empty stomachs were common. The winter promised only one: desperation and starvation. Some couldn't take the cold, the hunger, the uncertainty any longer. There were dozens of desertions. Disease debilitated. Death descended in droves. But most remained loyal. By springtime, an energized and organized army was shaped and ready for action. What made the difference? General Washington took the long look. He wasn't moved by what is immediately happening around him with all the horrible things happening to him and his soldiers. He was looking ahead, the long look. What will be the end if I stay true? He never forgot the final goal and purpose, and he never let his troops forget it either. It was his refusal to be swayed by the immediate hardships that kept him motivated, and that, in return, energized the army and purchased America's freedom.
Amen.
Overcomers. Speaking of the two witnesses, by the way, real quickly, Revelation 11:7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Doesn't sound very victorious, does it? Doesn't sound very victorious at all. It was a temporary victory, by the way. Very temporary. An overcomer is not a religious churchgoer that withers away when the pressures of life or the enemy comes. Sadly, there are many who will wither when the pressure is on, and too many are quitting. And that's what's happening today. There are people who leave church when pressure comes on. You know, the enemy doesn't fiddle around with lukewarm and cold churches. He warfares the churches that preach the Word of God. He warfares the people. When the fire is turned up, that's when we realize only God will permit it, and we will make it to the end. If we stay true to it, we will have victory, and we'll have it from victory to victory. We will conquer, and then there will be other tests that will come, and we will have victory and conquer and victory and conquer when we stay true.
Amen.
But too many quit. See, God won't quit if you don't quit. But none need to so, because Jesus Christ himself will be our strength and our guide. Amen. He has gone before us through the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, loyalty is paramount for us to him. Allegiance must be clear. An overcomer is a redeemed by Jesus and resolute toward Jesus. Thirdly, relies on Jesus. Revelation 3:5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I want my name confessed before the Father. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. And there's too many people that are ashamed of Jesus. And young people, if you're in here, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Stand up for what you believe. Be strong, and you'll see the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you. You will see a move of God amongst you, within your school, within your home, within your family's lives. If you stay true, and mom and dad don't, you do. Amen?
Amen.
No one overcomes in their own strength, by the way. They only do so by leaning on the ultimate overcomer, Jesus Christ, and by what he did on the cross. Jesus is our overcomer.
Yeah.
He's the one we look to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Scripture teaches 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And you all have cares this morning sitting here listening to me. Every one of you've got cares of this world, and you're carrying them. You're burdened with them. Cast them upon Jesus.
Yes.
He's the overcomer. I don't know how he's going to do it in your life, but he does. He's the overcomer. That's why he says, cast them upon me, for I've overcome. I've cast it up on Jesus.
Amen.
If you've got illness, health problems, financial problems, physical problems, relational problems, mental problems, whatever it is, cast them on Jesus.
Amen.
Watch him make you an overcomer.
Yes.
Amen.
You may not feel like it, but we don't go by feelings, the scriptures teach. We go by faith. Say, Lord, I sure don't feel like an overcomer. Jesus said, you don't have to, because I am.
Amen.
I am. Not iPad and iPhone. I am. At the very core of being an overcomer, it's necessary to look to Jesus for courage, for wisdom, for strength, regardless of the test and trials. We look to Jesus. The overcomer knows that Jesus has gone before us. Amen.
Amen.
And he goes with us.
Yes.
John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, even in the middle of it, he tells us, you're going to have those tribulations, but I'm going to give you peace.
Yes. Yes.
Cast your care upon him. He'll give you the peace, and he'll make you an overcomer. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on the throne. Isn't it going to be fun to sit with Jesus on the throne?
Wow.
Can you just a quiet moment, think about that. Sitting on the throne with Jesus. Even as also I've overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. So this does not mean we do not experience doubts and fears and tests and temptation and even death. We're going to experience all those things because we're in a fallen world. Because of sin. It does not mean that we have discovered the victory that comes by leaning on Jesus. As these real threats, they'll come our way, but we still learn to lean on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong.
Strong.
Glory to God. So in conclusion, glory to God. Then we're strong. When you feel weak, and you cast your care upon Jesus, you become strong. You become strong. So an overcomer is redeemed by Jesus, resolute towards Jesus, relies on Jesus, and the last one,
yes,
we reign with Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the final outcome for the born-again believer. Hallelujah. There's a hymn titled, When We See Christ. When you might find yourself particularly overwhelmed by your faith, listen. I love this refrain. It says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Yes.
Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Yes.
Isn't that a beautiful song?
Yes.
In Christ, we have an eternal future, people. That makes it worth it. Making certain our sins are forgiven through Jesus' blood.
Yes.
Determining to follow Jesus faithfully and not give up when the tests come. Leaning on him constantly and continually for wisdom and courage and guidance. But I want to be identified by God as an overcomer, don't you?
Yes.
That's the way I want to be identified. It means you've counted the cost and you followed the Lamb. There are certain tests. They may not be beastly as those in Revelation, but they're no less, they're real in your and my life when they hit us. Whether the test comes from work, from home, from finances, from health, some other arena, you can be certain that you will be tested again and again. You got to know that. Don't be shocked by that. We're in an imperfect world, a fallen world, but that's why Jesus came to earth. Amen?
Yes.
Revelation 2:9, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I was excited when I started to preach, and I'm still excited when I finish preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if there's someone in here this morning and with every head bowed right now, this is vitally important. No fooling around. No fiddling around, because the Holy Spirit is working right now. If someone walked in here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't really know. Then you're in a dangerous area. You've got to know. Jesus made it simple. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means there are none righteous. None of us. None of us. And the wages of sin is eternal death, separation from this holy, pure, righteous, loving God. And if you've never surrendered to Him, and Jesus is a loving God, He came to earth because He loved us so much, and He gave His life. And He's, if you're standing, you think, well, I think I've done enough good works. Jesus said, your righteousness is but a filthy rag. It's a stench in my nostrils. Because it's only through His righteousness, He was sinless. He never sinned. It's through His righteousness that we go to heaven, not through anything that we do. And Jesus said, repent, that we need to repent and ask for forgiveness of our sin. Is there anybody in here that with an uplifted hand say, Pastor, this morning, this is the hardest part, people. You got to get rid of your pride right now. If you have pride, you say, well, I don't want everybody to know that I'm a sinner. I'm not a Christian. Well, that's your problem, your pride. Pride has got what got Satan kicked out of heaven. If you know you need salvation right now, lift your hand up. Mine's up in the air. I've already committed my life to Jesus. If you know you need salvation now, lift it up. I'm talking people who've never done it before now. I want people, just if you're in here, you never surrendered to Jesus, put your hand up, say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody? This might be your last chance. You're saying, well, I'll just wait. I'll wait till I get my life cleaned up. No, Jesus said, I'll clean you up. You can't clean you up. I'm going to give you one more chance, and we're just going to pray. Is there anyone else that has never committed your life to Christ? And I know people walk in churches like this all the time that stand there, come in unsaved and go out saved. And every time you do, your heart gets hardened and you'll hear it less and less. And it's a dangerous thing. And if you know you need to, just lift up your hand. Nobody's here to judge you. Nobody's here to make fun of you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. One last time. Is there anybody? Just lift your hand up right now. Now, everyone in here, I know you're going to agree with me. Everyone in here saying you want God to help you to be an overcomer, raise your hand up. An overcomer. No more playing church, no more playing games. You need to be an overcomer in every aspect of your life. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you see all of our hands up right now, Lord, and we ask you, as you spoke to the end time churches in Revelation and warning us what's coming in between, you told us how to be overcomers. And you are the answer. You are the source of us being overcomers. And when we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we will become overcomers. And Lord, we ask right now that through your power, your Holy Spirit, that you will continue to deal with each one of our hearts, that you will put an excitement within us to want to serve this mighty God, this Jesus, this one who loves us so much, who died on the cross, who gave his all. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. You said that when we come to you and give our lives to you, you will come and live within us through your Holy Spirit and sup within us and live within us and guide us and help us in this world we live. So Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Now Lord, we ask that you help us to live for you. Not out of fear, not out of bondage, but out of love for you, Lord. That you made it possible, Lord, that we were reconciled back to you, that we would not have to live eternally in an eternal hell, but in a glorious place called heaven with you. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody on your way out today and said, I am going to be an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
If I'm not already.